Stripe is the go-to choice for AI companies, from early-stage startups to scaled enterprises. 78% of the leading AI companies use Stripe to go to market quickly and scale globally. That includes pioneers like NVIDIA, OpenAI, and Perplexity. Stripe has developed cutting-edge tools to improve everything from fraud detection to checkout optimization. Whether you're aiming for incremental gains or planning for enterprise transformation, see how Stripe can help at stripe.com.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll chat to Samsung Ireland about the brand new S25 Edge. We'll hear about the recruitment challenges for those looking to hire both sides of the Atlantic. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. Or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. It has been another stunning week here in Dublin anyway. I hope it's been nice where you are. I have spent the last few days pottering around in my garden, talking to my plants. That's my entire personality now. I've been chatting to Kieran Cudahy over the last few weeks about different app recommendations. I'm all about using technology to help me get more done in my garden. I might be the dullest person in Ireland, but you know what? I'm happy about it. One thing that I've been playing around with in recent times is using ChatGPT to help bring my garden notions to life. It's been really good to help me visualize and plan what we're doing around the place. So if you're working on any projects, take a picture of the space that you're working with and then be very descriptive and prescriptive with whether it's ChatGPT or Copilot or Google's Gemini, and ask it to take the image and do X, Y, and Z. So in my case, I've asked it to take the image of my front garden and show me what it would look like if a path went from one side to the other and the path would be made up of little pebbles and blah, 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 blah. The more specific you are, the better it is. And once you see it come up on the whatever platform it is, you're like, oh, I could do that. Or it looks absolutely horrific. No way at all. But it's just something to consider. It works really well as well if you're considering, you know, changing your kitchen round or changing colours. That's my top tip. Have a play around and use these platforms that exist to help you make changes in and around your space. It's so easy to do. What I would say is if you're doing it on ChatGPT, it can take a while to render the image. But from my side anyway, it has definitely been worth it just to help get stuff done. So that's my little top tip for you there now. But moving right along to one of the big announcements from this week, which came from Samsung. So Samsung unveiled their S25 range at the beginning of the year, and they teased us that something else was coming down the tracks. I'm delighted to say that Quentin Doran O'Reilly of Samsung Ireland is with me now to talk through what the company unveiled on Tuesday of this week. Quentin, I always love chatting with you because you're as nerdy as I am when it comes to phones. Before we get into the nitty gritty, just tell me a little bit about this new phone.
So you're right. Something new and exciting is on the way. It's not wholly unanticipated insofar as at the very end of the formal unpacked of the Galaxy S25 family in January, at the very, very end, we teased something extra was going to come. And then we said nothing about it until now. And today is Tuesday the 13th, but I don't think this is going out till later on the week. We formally announced the launch of the Galaxy S25 Edge, which is the slimmest Galaxy S series device we have ever launched. But it's really important to remember that, this is the slimmest device, but what we're not doing is compromising in any way, manner, shape, or form. It's a device that's going to balance perfectly between form and function. And at just 5.8 millimeters thick, It's going to be the most portable, lightest 6.7-inch screen you've ever seen on the Galaxy. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. And I think when I heard murmurs about this, I was excited. As you know, I've been a longtime Samsung fan. And I wonder, could you just talk me through what you mean when there's no compromise? Because I think if you read the spec sheet of this alongside the S25, is it that they're not meant to be comparable, that it's another addition to the ecosystem, or what way does that work?
It's absolutely another addition to the ecosystem. So this covers off lots of things that customers have been asking us for. We already have loyalists for our S25 base and for the Plus model. And as you yourself know, the Ultra models with the S Pen included, we have some really loyal customers, but we're constantly getting feedback that folks would like something thinner, more pocketable. With all the bells and whistles that we have on the S25 family. And that's what we're bringing to market. We're bringing a device that is, as I said, just 5.8 millimeters thick. It's 163 grams, but still has that same Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 processor built for Galaxy. So it is blisteringly fast. And because you've got a processor that fast, you can make a smaller battery and still get one day plus life out of the device. We've also included a true flagship level camera. So this is going to rock a 200 megapixel main shooter, so that there is no compromise in this device whatsoever. It's got everything you need.
I thought.
Sorry, so to address your first question. It fits into the portfolio for a whole new customer segment, and that's really who we're talking to for this.
Okay, so who is that customer? Because I saw some of the reviewers, I think they were US-based reviewers, who were focused in on the telephoto lens, the size of the battery, and I think they were kind of struggling to figure out where exactly it sits and who it was talking to. So who is the design, who is the ultimate customer for the new phone?
I think you can talk about a few different folks. People who really want a flagship level performance, but also this is very much a style shout. This is all about the design. It's the fact that it is such a beautifully thin and sleek and slick device that's feeding into that fashion and style shout as much as it is into the technology side of things. So we're talking about something which is going to be just appreciably different. And one of the things that you'll see in form factors over the last little while is that everyone's starting to play with it a little bit. We're back to that lovely place we were in maybe 15 years ago, where people are able to create different form factors of a device. And just like we did back then, we're now at a point in the technology where we can make things that fold and bend and make them as thin as you like. All the restrictions that we had in the past are beginning to dissipate again as the smartphone category starts to evolve.
Yeah, it's something that John Reilly and I have spoken about on the program over the last few years. It's getting increasingly difficult to talk about smartphones because they're all powerhouses. Even your own A50, the A range is incredible, and what they can pack into a phone at that price point is incredibly impressive. Can you just tell me a little bit about the reasoning for the tease at the end of the S25 launch and then the official launch of the Edge device here in May 2025?
As in why we didn't launch them all together?
Yeah.
I think because we're developing something appreciably new and fresh, we didn't want to confuse or not confuse. We have customers who are really waiting for their next Galaxy S, be it the base model 25 or the Plus or the Ultra. And if we'd put in a new one at that stage, I think it would have genuinely caused a little confusion. This needed its own space. It's something new and fresh and different. And so I think holding back was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
It gave us a chance to tell a larger story, which is, of course, what you've started seeing today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the new form factor is really interesting. I'm excited to have it in the hand. I always go around with my phone in my back pocket and you can feel the bulk of the phone. And I do think that the new form factor would suit people like me who kind of always have it on their person but don't want the heft that some of the phones on the market at the moment have. I was talking to Annika Bison and when the new S25 range was unveiled. And there was a lot of talk about the AI on the phone. I'm assuming that comes as standard with this new model as well.
Yeah, the Galaxy AI story has just gone from strength to strength since we first launched it on the S24 family last year. And of course, that was a really key driver for the launch of the S24. Indeed, that became the biggest S-series flagship launch we had ever had, with the biggest pre-order. And we've continued that story into 25. And truthfully, we weren't sure if the story was getting a little old by the time we launched with the S25 and even the subsequent Fold 6 and Flip 6. But because the technology and our partnership with Google in Gemini has gone from strength to strength and the capabilities have grown, the story is by no means done, and it continues on the S25 Edge. We've added all the bits that you would expect, like audio eraser, like writing assist, like that multimodal input, which allows you to use your voice or text or even pictures to interact with the device and get the results that you want. So there is a huge amount embedded in this device. And again, it's the capabilities are growing daily at this stage.
Yeah, the ad campaign around the S25 was great because it showed practical examples of how, when and why you would use this. Do you guys get any ongoing feedback or even quarterly feedback in terms of what features users like and are using and, you know, forming a view of what they would like to see in the next iteration?
We'd certainly get some visibility on what's being used by customers, and therefore we can build on that. We're very, very lucky, Jess, insofar as we've got a very big R&D department, and of course Google have the same. And between them, you've got an awful lot of people who are much smarter than me coming up with all the new stuff. I'm in the very lucky position where I just get to sit here and get told what's coming next. But you're right, it's driven very much by partly customer demand and partly by what the guys get to think of.
We've been talking for many, many years now. And what I always enjoy when I chat to you is that you're as big a dork, if not more than me, when it comes to phone technology, what the phones can do, the power of them. I remember years ago, you sitting in the Newstalk office showing me the first iteration of the foldables. Is this an exciting time for mobile phone technology, or are we in an era now of just iterating and reiterating what has worked for the last 5 years?
You know what? I've been mulling this one too, because we did very quickly after sort of S22, S23, start to look at it and go, gosh, in terms of form factor, you know, it is just a slab of glass and where can you go from here? But of course, in the interim, we started introducing, as I said earlier, plays on the form factor, and the capabilities are starting to appreciably change. So you're right, we were absolutely in danger of just iterating that slab of glass. I think with the introduction of AI, with the introduction of the really slim form factor now, and with the introduction of foldable, things are starting to shake up a bit again. And that's really, really exciting.
One of the questions that I think someone like you would be good to answer is one that I get often, and that is, I need a new phone. I like, you know, playing the New York Times Wordle, the crossword, answering some emails, watching a bit of Netflix. I'm being offered the S range. Would the A range do? Like, how do people go about deciding where they sit on the smartphone spectrum? Because I'm sure you would say that not everybody needs the power of an S phone.
No, they don't. And I mean, that's why we have such a broad breadth of portfolio. I know I heard you the other day talking about the A56, which is a mini powerhouse. But we have devices right from the A16 all the way up to the Fold 6. And for every use case, there's a device really. And of course, not everyone can invest in an S series device. You know, they are expensive. So that's why we have A series upwards. But in all of them, you will have some level of intelligence. So for the A series, we have what we call awesome intelligence, which incorporates quite a lot of the features you'd see in Galaxy AI. As you go up the stack, what you tend to see is maybe faster processors, better cameras. By the time you get to S series, then you're talking about wireless charging and reverse wireless charging, which is still a very cool feature. Mm-hmm. And then again, you go up the stack and you get things like the S Pen on the S25 Ultra, which is still one of the key purchase drivers for the Ultra device and one of my personal favorites. I know I rant about that one quite a lot, but it is wildly exciting. And then, of course, for foldable, well, they have whole new use cases in and of themselves.
Yeah. How has the foldable and the flip gone down with customers? Because I'm seeing more and more of the flip in particular. Every few days, I will see someone, whether it's on the Lewis or walking down Grafton Street. I know some of my own colleagues have them. How has the feedback been on that range?
Really, really positive. And again, as we go through each iteration, the use cases become a little more established. So people understand that they're not just really cool looking devices, but they are really practical as well. For the flip, the fact that it essentially behaves as its own tripod, if you're in a video call or taking pictures, you can just leave it sitting on its hinge, flash your hand at it, and it takes a picture straight off. Or if you're on a video call, you don't have to balance it against anything. The Fold is becoming increasingly seen as that productivity powerhouse where you don't always have to use the main big screen. Mm. It functions as a normal, for want of a better phrase, smartphone when it's closed. And the use it's becoming easier to use as that, as well as the device form factor changes a little bit. So I think we're becoming, as a whole, much clearer on what foldable does, apart from the fact that it's foldable Super AMOLED glass. And again, that is just the coolest thing.
Yeah, the novelty of it still hasn't worn off. Anytime I see one, I get that wow moment when they move with an app open on a closed over and they open it out and the app continues. It is stuff from the Jetsons that people are just walking around in their pocket, which is amazing. My final question was just, we talk a lot every week when I'm answering questions. People are looking for refurbished devices from, I suppose, an environmental point of view, but also from a financial point of view. Where is Samsung at in terms of that refurbished ecosystem, especially now when devices are lasting much longer than they would have even back in the S3, S4 days?
They are. So there's a couple of different answers to that. First and foremost, it is something that we're looking at. We've already launched a program in our office in the UK, and that will come eventually to Ireland as well. These things take a little time to work on. You're right, people are hanging on to their devices a little bit longer. So the average in this country is now circa 34 to 36 months before people jump onto their next device. That in and of itself is quite, A, it's good for the environment, but B, for the users, it becomes a really cool thing because your next device is 3 years down the line in terms of capabilities and technologies, which means that even though some of the changes from year to year might be seen as incremental, by the time you're doing it for 2 to 3 years, the wow factor is still there. And that's, you know, something that we're very glad our customers can experience.
Look, it is a very exciting time for Samsung as somebody who is a fan of the range and also just seeing how you guys are playing with the form factor. It is brilliant to see. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Jess.
Yeah. Always love talking to Quentin. As I mentioned there, I haven't tested the phone yet. I'm excited to test the phone. I was a little bit skeptical when I read the press release and was talking to Pat Kenny about it on Tuesday, purely because of the compromises that appear to exist on the spec sheet. Now, as Quentin said, the phone has been optimized to still give you excellent battery performance despite a lower battery capacity. There are a whole host of different bits and pieces between the lenses and then the AI within the phone to ensure the camera is still really good. So I'll be interested and excited to get my hands on it and put it through its paces, and I'll have that review for you hopefully in the next few weeks. But I'd love to know your thoughts. You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, one of the big talking points in this office anyway has been The Last of Us Season 2. I'll be honest, I haven't been watching it, but I know people at home and people in this very building who are quite disappointed by how season 2 is playing out. Have you been watching it and are you annoyed about it? Few people have been saying to me that it's too closely aligned to the game and they've kind of ruined it. Other people are still buzzing about it. Let me know what you think. techtalk@newstalk.com. I mentioned at the top of the show about my use of ChatGPT to help me plan my garden. Do you know what show I have been loving? And this will tell you all you need to know about me. Super Garden on RTE1 on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. It is pure joy. Paul Harrington, who you may know from The Lyrics The Thing on the Pat Kenny Show, he is the voice of it. You have a number of gardening enthusiasts who are given a garden to make over. And it is my go-to comfort show. We have watched all of the seasons. They're all up on the RTE player. And I am buzzing for Tuesday evening for the next episode. If there's anything else gardening related, I'm into my wholesome gardening DIY content. I'd love to get your recommendations. The email again is techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, last week's show came to you from Boston. I was there as part of Ireland Gateway to Europe. And when we come back here on News Talk, I'm going to bring you a chat that I had with an Irish recruitment firm who talked me through some of the challenges and opportunities that come from hiring in two jurisdictions. Stay tuned.